Second Peter, chapter number 1. We'll begin reading in verse number 16 again, as we did last week, and read through the end of the chapter. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come once again before You. Father, we give and offer thanks unto You for the salvation that is ours, the uttermost salvation that is ours in Christ. Father, we thank You for Your Word that You've given unto us today, that we might, Father, read, hear it proclaimed, and ask that You would help us to receive and have it opened unto our hearts and minds, Father, that we might be able to rejoice in it, that it might stir us, that it might stir up the Word of God within us, the gift that is within us, Father, that it might stir up our faith, that it might stir up our hope, that it might stir up our peace and our joy, and the everlasting contentment that we have in knowing, Father, that we will dwell with You forever. Father, we ask that You'd bless this time. Pray once again for those, Father, who are not with us, those that are sick, Father, those that are not able to join us, Father, those, Brother Dean this morning, not able to be here because of the cows that are out. Father, pray that You would be with him, help him, protect him, Father. We look unto You. We hope in You. We rejoice in You. We wait upon You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I stopped short of reading the first three verses that really are kind of a continuance of what we have just read in the second chapter, verse number 1, after we're told that no prophecy has come unto us of any private interpretation, but it came in old time by the will of man, not by the will of man rather, but by holy men of God that spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Verse number 1 of chapter 2 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." There are those who would seek to discredit the Word of God. There were in that day, there are in our day. The only fool who is a greater fool than the one that Scripture speaks of, who says in his heart, "There is no God," is the fool who proclaims falsehoods and perverts the word of truth to his own ends and for his own gain and profit. Peter tells us here of his being an eyewitness of these things. Can you imagine having been brought up as Paul and Peter were, being taught all those things that the Lord told his people to be faithful to teach their children when they were delivered, from Egypt, from bondage. all the things that God had done, you know, for them, all the things the prophets had proclaimed, all the things that were really pointing to and speaking of Christ. Can you imagine Peter, John, others who, as they saw these things that the prophets had spoken of coming to pass, and they understood, at least to a degree. They didn't understand them completely, but they understood to a degree. Think about Andrew running to his brother, you know, Peter, and saying, "We found him. We found the one that the scriptures, you know, have spoken of, that the prophets spoke of. We found him." And for John the Baptist to point unto him and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." These things that they had heard, these things that they had known from a child, that were spoken to them and taught them, you know, at the feet of their parents, that they saw come to pass. We saw last week, Peter says, we're eyewitnesses of these things. And he's speaking specifically of him, of himself, and two others that were upon, you know, the mountain and saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, saw the Lord transfigured. But what Peter's telling us here, you couple together what we were looking at last week, we're looking at today, with those things that Peter has told us about the present truth that you're established in, but he wants us to be stirred up by. Peter's talking to us on the one hand, the salvation that is ours in Christ, and then here talking to us about the truth of the Word of God, that it's sure. And then, you know, that being in the middle, and then on the other side of that, the other bookend, so to speak, that we see here in chapter 2, false teachers. He says, we're among the people. What people? The Jewish people. Those who had been delivered the oracles of God. There were false teachers among them, and there shall be among us bringing in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord God that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. We'll see maybe next time there's, you know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what these guys are all about, these false teachers. I mean, one of those things drives them. One of those things motivates them. One of those things causes them to teach the things that they teach and the way that they teach them in order that they can gain the thing that they want. You know, in one sense, it's you think about what the Scripture says about them heaping to themselves, you know, teachers who will tickle their ears, you know, that will preach unto them pleasing things, pleasant things, things that are easy to hear. They're not rebuking, they're not condemning, but they're pleasing. And I was listening to Brother Conrad on that very topic, and he was talking about false teachers being paid more than true teachers. And it'll always be that way, because there's not so many people who want to hear the truth as those who want to hear what is false. They want to hear what pleases them. And there are plenty of people out there that are willing to be paid to do that very thing. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." That's the sort of thing that Peter is declaring unto us here. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. As sure as we are here, as sure as we're sitting here this morning, as sure as we're hearing these words, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Remember, we said last week that there were those who said, "Where's the promise of His coming? All things have continued to this day as they were." And they willingly are ignorant of what? That the world that was before was destroyed by water. That Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire. You know, they're willingly, it says willingly. Doesn't just say they're ignorant of it. Doesn't just say they don't know. It says they're willingly ignorant of those things. The word of the Lord The word of the Lord, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. These things that the word of God has written of, the things that Peter found himself in the time in which he lived, that he found himself an eyewitness of those things that he had heard about. We may ourselves one day find that we are eyewitnesses of things that we have heard of. You know, and we will it certainly in one way. I mean, even if we're dead, we're going to be an eyewitness of those things. But I'm talking about like Peter being alive and upon the earth in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye. We shall all be changed. Scripture said we will hear, you know, the sound of the last trump, and the Lord shall descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. It may be that we be physical eyewitnesses of that very thing. Yeah, we will see those things for sure one way or the other, but we may be alive, maybe among those who are alive and remain to see them. What I'm saying is the testimony of the Lord is sure. It's sure. Everything that this book says will come to pass. It is sure. Nothing is going to be left undone. Everything. You think about what the prophet said of the Lord before he ever came. All those things were accomplished. All those things were done. You think about John the Baptist. You know, I have need of being baptized by, you know, you. Who am I to baptize? You know, I'm not worthy to unlace your shoes. And the Lord says, suffer it to be so. You know, it's talking, that all things must be, you know, completed. You know, all the things that were done, that were said, were done. They were completed. A sure word, a true word that Peter tells those to whom he writes, tells us these things are a sure and true word. And he tells us in relationship to what we will be approaching in chapter 2, that there will be false teachers who will come to discredit the Scriptures or twist them to their own ends. What's necessary for us then? What do we need to know? We need to know what the Scriptures say. We need to compare. We need to be like the Bereans, right? What'd they do? I mean, here's the Apostle Paul coming before them to proclaim the Word of God. And what do? They say, let's go compare. Let's go see if those things that this man's saying unto us are true. See, that was the whole Jewish mindset. You have to understand that. You know, the prophets, what was a true prophet? If the thing that he prophesied came to pass. If the thing that he didn't prophesy, or the thing he prophesied didn't come to pass, then he was a false prophet. And what was to happen to him? He was to be put to death. You know. Sure word. True word. Matthew 24:24 says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, what I just say a while ago, we need to know what the Word of God says, right? Insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And he says, behold, I have told you before. We've been warned. There will be false teachers among us. We need to be careful that we are not deceived. We need to be careful that we are not moved away from the hope and comfort that we have in Christ. Well, how can that happen? I mean, here we're talking about people who understand present truth. They're established in it. How can that happen? Well, one way that you can be moved away from the hope and comfort that we have in Christ, one simple thing is fear. That didn't have to do with a false prophet couldn't prey upon, you know, fear. Certainly they do. You know, they're all over the airwaves, you know, all in print everywhere. How can we be moved away from the hope and the comfort that we have in Christ? Well, one way is fear. Fear ruling us instead of trusting in Him. We read one such verse already this morning in 1 John, but 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, established in this present truth. Not just established in this present truth, Peter says, but stirred up by being put in remembrance of these things. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Well, what happens when fear comes along? The peace of God's not ruling anymore. Fear is ruling in our hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's as long as fear is not ruling. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of love. Why should I be afraid? I love my Father. My Father loves me. He's only going to do what's best for me. He's only going to do that which is needful for me. Why should I fear? He loves me. He's not a tyrant. He's not a despot. But He's my loving Heavenly Father, and I am His child. Won't that give us a sound mind? Won't our minds be sound in? I mean, fear is a mushy place. There's no soundness there. There's no place to put your feet and have something solid underneath. But that right there, sure. The love of God for me as His child, that's a sound place. It's kind of like the lady walked up and tapped me on the shoulder. I was in Walmart this weekend. It's one of the customers at the insurance office, and she was telling about her husband taking their oldest boy out deer hunting. And when she was telling me this, I'm thinking, well, the little boy's, you know, the one that was hunting, not the father, but it was the father that was hunting. He just took his son with him, got him up like at 4 o'clock in the morning, and took him out there and put him in the deer stand. Well, of course, he fell asleep. She said, you know what, he even slept through his dad firing the rifle and killing an 8-point buck. And I was like, well, there's two reasons for that. You know, one, you got him up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, but the second thing is, I said, he trusts his dad. You know, even in the midst of a gun firing, he trusts his dad. He wasn't worried about that gunfire. You know, he knew where he was. He knew what they were doing. He knew he was with his dad. He was just tired, and he was going to sleep. You know, so, I mean, that's the sort of thing that we have here. It's a simple illustration. But that's where we are. I mean, our Heavenly Father. Even when the Lord comes and the last trumpet sounds and He descends. And that's even so come Lord Jesus. I mean, that is our hope. It's the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's great for the people of God. It's terrible for those who do not have any hope in Him. You know, I'm not saying that we won't see fearful things. You know, but it's still our loving Heavenly Father. What reason do we have to fear? How many times did the Lord tell the disciples, fear not, fear not, fear not? We live in a dark place. Fear is something that we have to grapple with. Doubt is something that we have to wrestle with. Doubt may be the thing that overcomes us, not fear. Fear seems to lead unto doubt, but doubt may be the thing that overcomes us. In it all, what are we doing? We're forgetting the Lord. We're forgetting what He said unto us. You know, it's the same sort of thing that can happen when a false teacher comes. You know, he says something. You know, we need to compare it, be like the Bereans, compare it to Scripture. You know, is this true? Is this true? Our thoughts need to be upon these things. We are too guilty of forgetting, too guilty of not trusting, too guilty of not hoping in Him. We live, as we said already time, too many times this morning, we live in a dark place. We live in a dark place. But our God is a light which shines here, shines upon His people. The Scriptures are present truth, which we do need to be established in, but also we need to be mindful of. We need to be mindful of. Have stirred in us continually. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. That sounds like keeping these things stirred up within us, right? I mean, you have hope. It's not just laying there dormant. You're rejoicing in it. I mean, you have this hope. You have this truth that you're rejoicing in. It's not just there. You're rejoicing in it. Patient in tribulation. Why? Because I know this thing, whatever it is that I'm going through, the Lord's appointed. I can be patient in this. I can rest in Him in this. I can hope in Him in this. Continuing instant in prayer. That's someone who's stirred up. That's someone who's these things that we're called to think upon, those things are stirred up within him. Yes, I know I have dwelt upon this. I have hit upon it again and again and again over the past weeks because it's so important. Because we all find ourselves in that place where we're not keeping these things stirred up. We must keep them stirred up within us. We must rejoice in them. Rejoice in the hope of them continually. Continuing instant in prayer even. To know and be established in the so great salvation that is ours in Christ is of necessity to be realized in our hearts. We realize they're rejoiced in there. In our minds continually. That needs to be the thing upon our thoughts all the time. Sometimes our minds are required to be here or there. But as soon as that is done, that our minds return back there. And it's not just that they return back there even in the midst of the thing that I have to do. That my mind is there already. You know, if I have to sweep the floor, that my mind is so much upon the Word of God, and so much upon the things of God, and so much upon the hope that I have in God, that as I'm sweeping the floor of that dirt, and I've used the illustration before, I know, but as I sweep the floor of the dirt, that I'm even continuing instant in prayer, Lord, sweep things out of my life that don't need to be there. Whatever we're doing, our hearts and minds need to be on Him continually. You know, if I'm having surgery, Lord, this thing's being cut out of me that's diseased. You know, I have that gallbladder. The last surgery I had, I had that gallbladder taken out. The doctor said, it's bad. It's sick. It needs to come out. Of course, I'm reluctant to do that because I think God put those things in there, you know, because for a reason. You know, if I don't have a gallbladder anymore, you know, what's going to happen to me? And you start reading about it and reading up on it. And some people say, well, you don't have a gallbladder. You can't eat this, can't eat that. And other people say, well, I don't have any problems at all. You know, I don't know necessarily whether I've had any. I've got other problems that I if I didn't have those, I could have blamed on the gallbladder if it happened after I lost it. But you know, if I'm going to have something like that happen to me, where's my hope? Where's my trust? Maybe I'm praying the same sort of way with the broom. Lord, cut things out of me that don't need to be there. You are the great physician. Being established in this so great salvation that is ours in Christ, our hearts and minds need to be there continually. Need to be stirred by those things continually. Not enough that we know them. Peter's already told us that. We must be reminded of them. Let me ask you if you've ever been in this place before. You ever had to try to be a help unto somebody that's going through something tough and you've told them, well, this is what the Word of God says. You know, go to a brother or sister in Christ and they're going through a real hard time. This is what the Word of God says about this. And by the time you're finished telling them and trying to get to stir these things up within them to have them hope in those things because they've forgotten them. They're so caught up in the thing that they're going on in their lives right now, that they're going through right now, that they've forgotten those things. Has this ever happened to you when you finish with that? You yourself have been more encouraged? You know, I've been there trying to encourage someone, and I myself have been encouraged by the things that I've declared unto them from the Word of God. Peter says these things are not merely the stroke of a pen at random by a writer. Not just things that they thought about writing down. Not just things that came to their mind. But they've come to us, as we see in Scripture, thus saith the Lord. That's how they've come unto us. That's what Peter's saying unto us here. These things that we have, it's no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, but the prophecy came in old time, not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What hope we should have in the Scriptures, therefore. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Continue in them. How am I going to continue if I've learned them, if I've been taught them and instructed them? How am I going to continue in them? You see, when you start looking at the Scripture through the lens of what Peter's talking to us about being stirred, you start seeing this thing everywhere. Continue in these things? How am I going to continue in them? By being stirred by them. Stirred up by them. Remembering them. Having them in the forefront of your mind. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say in verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We can kind of see the man that Paul, presents there with the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and his loins girt about, with truth. And he's got the shield of faith, and he's got the sword, the word of God, and he's got his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We see this man outfitted before us, that has the Word of God in his heart and mind continually. He's stirred by these things. As we said last week, Peter said, this information that we've given, we were eyewitnesses of these things. Now his spirit, his experience that he had in seeing all the things that he saw, all the miracles the Lord did, the Lord being crucified even and being raised again, the third day. The what he saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, what they saw even when the Lord was taken from them, and they're sitting there looking and gazing up into the sky, and the angels come and say, well, why do you men of Galilee stare up into the heavens like that? The same one's been taken from you, return again in the same manner. He's going to return in the clouds of the sky. All those things that Peter saw, all that he was eyewitness of, his experience doesn't validate Scripture. Scripture was valid without his experience. So many people are so big on experience. The truth of the Word of God is the truth of the Word of God, regardless of a person's experience. But he says, I'm an eyewitness. I saw these things firsthand. The prophet said the Messiah was coming. Peter says, like the hymn that we have learned and we sang, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Well, what Peter saw on the Mount of Transfiguration was indeed that. When he saw the Lord transfigured above the brightness of the noonday sun, he saw the coming. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He was an eyewitness. Heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I heard of those things. Mine eyes have seen them. And we have the New Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. We have the New Testament. I'm talking about those, the old men, of renown. They didn't have the New Testament. What is the New Testament? It's the Old Testament. What? You've heard that before, haven't you? The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. That's what it is. The New Testament is the revelation of the Old Testament. Those things that were written, we see revealed in the new. Those things that were written of Christ have been revealed in the new. It's what we saw in 1 Peter 1, verse 10, of which salvation the prophets, you remember that, have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves. They weren't going to see these things themselves. They were delivered unto them. God gave this unto them to pin. these things concerning Christ in the Old Testament? It was not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. You know, Peter says, this is, you know, Peter saw these things with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. It didn't originate with them. I'm talking about these men who Peter's talking about. These men of old who searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. It didn't originate with them in the sense that they came up with these things in their own mind. It did originate with them in the sense that it was delivered unto them, sure. But it didn't originate with them that they devised these things. You remember what Peter was saying? We've not followed cunningly devised fables. It didn't originate with them. It came from God. They didn't devise it. It was a mystery to them. If they devised it, it wouldn't be a mystery to them, would it? I mean, it was. It was a mystery unto them. They searched. The whole Old Testament is a prophetic word spoken about the Messiah. It all points unto the Christ. John 5:39 says, "You search the Scriptures." The Lord says this, "You search the Scriptures because you think in them that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me." Of me. There is eternal life. It's in Him. Jesus said, "Go through the Scriptures. They're all about me." He's referring to the Old Testament. Remember in Luke 24:27, on the road to Emmaus, there's these men walking and they're saying, "Well, we thought He was the hope of Israel. We thought that this is what we thought would happen. Things have just not turned out the way He thought they would." The Lord comes walking in their midst. They don't recognize who He is. But it says that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in the Scripture concerning Himself. He opened to them the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures concerning Himself. He opened their minds to understand those things. And what does Peter tell us? In verse number 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed." Take heed to these things. Take heed unto them, lest we find ourselves. Where were they? You know what the Lord also said to them before He said that I read to you? He said unto them, "You're slow to believe." You're slow to believe the Scriptures. Well, how is it that we can be slow to believe the Scriptures? Well, if they're not stirred up within us, if we don't have a remembrance of these things, we can be slow to believe them because we're not thinking upon them. We can be slow to believe them if we don't know them, if we haven't been searching the Scriptures. If we're not familiar with them. Slow to believe, He said, all the prophets have spoken. What did the prophets speak? Not their own words. What did they speak? They spoke the Word of God. What God had given them to speak. Slow to believe. The Word is, as we read in Psalm 119 and 105, what is it? Thy word. I want you to think about this in this respect. We read here in verse number 19, "We do well to take heed unto these things as what?" What does it say in verse number 19? What is the word? Do well to take heed unto these things as a what? A light, right? That shines where? In a dark place, right? Psalm 119, 105. You'll be able to finish this once I start it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Always. It's a temporary one. The Word of God is a temporary light. It's for now. It's for this dark place that we live in right now. Right? It's a light unto our feet and our path. While we're in this dark place, until when? Until the day dawns and the day star rise in your hearts. There's coming a day that will dawn like no other day. Now, it may be night, you know, on this. You ever thought about that? I mean, the Lord's going to come and all men are going to be able to see Him. I mean, the earth is round, right? I don't know. But I know it's true. I do know it's true. But we may be on the side of the earth that's dark. It may be nighttime, you know, here. But the day will dawn. The Lord's going to appear. Till the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. It'd have to be something akin, though it's on a smaller scale, it'd have to be something akin to John the Baptist knowing who he was and saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Because one day we're going to behold him. We're going to behold his face. Like I said, that was veiled for John. He was in the flesh. When he comes again, he's going to come in all of his glory and all of his majesty. That Peter saw upon the top of that mountain. He's going to come in his glory and his majesty. The day is going to dawn, and the day star is going to arise in our hearts. Until then, we have this. This is our light. Until then. But then he will come in the full blazing light of eternal sun. Revelation 22:16 says, "I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star." That's what it says. Peter says, "Take heed unto this, the word of God, until then." For no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own private interpretation. No prophecy was ever made by the act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. You can have confidence in this. This is your light. This is your light. Until then, it didn't come from human sources. It came from God. If what we hear doesn't match up with the written word of God, then it's false. No prophecy of Scripture comes into being or originates or arises or comes into existence from one's own private interpretation. He's not talking about how Scripture is interpreted. He's talking about the origination of it. It's not by a private interpretation. This that we have, the canon of Scripture that has been closed, there's nothing to be added unto it. Nothing to be taken away from it. It's coming to us from God. The source of the Word of God is not the prophets who penned them, but God Himself. The prophets didn't invent the Word of God. God declared it unto them. So what Peter's saying is the source of Scripture is of divine origin. We have the Word of the living God written unto us. This is, as some have referred to it, God's letter unto us. It's not a dead letter. But it is a living letter. It's alive. So the Bible is not the product of men. I know you know that. But that needs to be stirred up within you. The fact that this is the Word of God unto you. These are the words of your Father unto you. This is the light that He's given you. While you're in this world, while you face the things that you face in this dark world, this is the light that your Father has given you to navigate your way, to find your way, to shine before you, to be a light under your path, a lamp under your feet. Luke 1:70 says, God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets. Jeremiah said in chapter 1, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying," it's like saying, "Thus saith the Lord." 1 Corinthians 2, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths." It's the light. Who knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows, no man knows except the Spirit of God. Do you have the Spirit of God? The only one who knows the mind of God is the Spirit of God. The only one that can move the writers along is the Spirit of God. the totality of Scripture has come to us from Him, from God. Divine oracles written by God through the mouths of the prophets. They wrote down precisely what God wanted them to say. Remember Paul when he was given a defense for himself in Acts 24? He says that according to the way that they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets. He says, I believe every word of it. That's what he's saying unto us. So, here we have the perfect revelation of God, the light of God unto us. A light in a dark place is what's been delivered unto us until the day star arises in our hearts, when the new day will dawn, and the kingdom of our God will come in its fullness. We have a light. If we're going to stand against error, which is where we're heading next in 2 Peter chapter 2, we're going to stand against error. We need to have these things stirred within us. We need to know our Scripture. We're going to stand against error. We need to know the salvation that is ours in Christ. We're going to stand against doubt and fear. We need to know these things. Well, amen. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, once again we bow in Your presence this morning. Father, what a gift You've given us. How thankful we ought to be for the Word of God. How thankful we ought to be for the truth. How thankful we ought to be for a lamp, a light that guides us. A lamp for our feet, that we know where we ought to step. A guide unto our path, that we know where we ought to go. Following our Lord Jesus Christ, following the Lamb wherever He goes. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy unto us, giving us understanding of these things, giving us hope in these things, causing us to rejoice, causing us even to cry out in our hearts, Abba, Father, adopting us, giving us the spiritual realities that we have in Christ. Father, we ask that You would stir these things within us, that we'd not be forgetful hearers, that we'd be instant in season and out of season, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer, that we might, even as we read earlier this morning, have this abundant entrance ministered unto us daily while we're in this dark place, until the day dawns and the day star arises in our hearts. Father, we thank You for the food that we're about to partake of, for the fellowship that will ensue. Ask that You would help us to remain thankful, Father. Remain stirred for all that You are and all that You've given unto us in Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.